How's everyone doing today? Good, good, good. As Jason said, I am the St. John's County neighborhood pastor. And I first just want to say welcome to anyone here who's a guest visiting with us. For all those who are watching online, thanks for tuning in. You know, one of the questions that I often get is, Justin, what's a neighborhood pastor? And real quick, just want to share what that means to you. As Jason said, I'm the neighborhood pastor for St. John's County, and really what it means is I'm here to help you connect. I'm here to help take this large church and to shrink it down so that you don't get lost in the shuffle. If you have questions about Christ Church, if you need prayer, spiritual decisions, I'm your one-stop shop if you live in St. John's County. It's like having your own personal customer service rep for Christ Church is a way that I like to describe it. So we're going to keep on the topic of dialing in, and we're dialing into the book of Titus tonight. So would you guys join me as I open us up with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father God, we love you so much. Lord, we are thankful for grace. We are thankful for what it is and what it means. God, I pray that you would just continue to open up our hearts, open up our ears, so that we can hear and receive the words that you have, God. May it be you speaking and not me. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So, we're going to be dialing into the book of Titus, and what I want you to do now is go ahead and get your Bibles out, open up to Titus chapter 3, power up your device, because what we're going to be talking about today is, what is grace? Why is grace important for us to receive, but also to be able to extend to other people? And then we're going to talk about some traps that we can fall into that take us away from leading a life of grace. But before I do that, I want to share a short story. Me and my wife, we've been married for 11 years this weekend. Actually, today is our 11-year anniversary. Thank you, thank you. And one of the things that we decided to do this year is I've decided that, you know, we're going to have these daddy days. These daddy days. And these are days where I get to take my kids and I get to do whatever I want with them, but it's really so that my wife can be able to have a day that she can just sit back, that she can relax, that she can enjoy. It typically starts with going to Starbucks, and then, you know, she may go to the beach, she may go to the gym. One day she went to the beach and she didn't come home till 5 o'clock that evening. I was like, where are you at? But she loves it. She loves those times. And I love that time because it's time when I get to spend with my kids. It's time that I get to do whatever I really want with them. One of the things that I did recently is I took them, actually I do it often, take them to Adventure Landing. And now I'm not talking about the Adventure Landing here in Jacksonville. I live down in St. Augustine, so we go to the one down there by the outlets. And I tell you what, my kids love going to Adventure Landing. Here's a couple pictures of them. The first one here is a picture of my boy, Joe. He, right there, that kid, he really just loves going there and playing games with dad. The next one here, this is my little girl. This is Izzy. And she is a ticket fiend. I mean, she goes after tickets like crazy. And that game that you see there, it's one of those games where you just put tokens in constantly to try and get as many tickets as you can. So this one time, we go to Adventure Landing, and she sees this gumball machine. She says, Daddy, I got to have this. I said, all right, you know, that's going to cost a lot of tickets. Let me give you your share of tokens, and then we take our share of tokens, and go ahead, go play. So we go about the rest of the day, and she uses up all her tokens. And she comes to the counter, and she has this wad of tickets. And she just goes up and sits them on the counter to the lady. And she's got this big old smile on her face, and she says, I want that. And the lady starts counting the tickets. And so I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the ticket counter that eats the tickets, looking at the ticket counter, looking at the tickets, ticket counter, tickets, ticket counter, tickets. And I'm like, oh man, we're not going to have enough. And I know what's about to go down. You guys know that when your kid wants something and they don't have enough. So she finishes all the tickets. And then all of a sudden, my daughter looks at the number on the tickets and she goes, Daddy, is that enough? And I look at her, I'm like, no, it's not. And all of a sudden, you guys know that face. You've either done it yourself at some time in the past or you've seen your kids do it. The eyes, the tears start building up in the eyes, and the lip comes out and she starts quivering, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden, as she's looking at me, I hear this still small voice. And no, it's not a voice to give her more tokens to go get more tickets. No, that's not what the voice was. All of a sudden, I hear this, "Do you really want that?" I'm like, what was that? It was the girl behind the counter. She said, "You can have it." I'm like, "Como say what?" I'm like, "Are you going to get in trouble?" She's like, no, it's okay, it's okay." And she gives her the gumball machine. And I'm like, "You're lucky. You are a lucky little girl." And that's what I want us to think of as grace, because you know what? She brought everything that she had. She brought all the tickets that she had earned. And she didn't have enough. She did not earn it. She didn't deserve to get that little gift. And that's what grace is. Grace is us getting something that we don't deserve. And that's what I want us to remember as we continue to dial into this book of Titus and understand how important it is for us to accept the grace that God gives us, but then extend that grace to other people. So let's go ahead. We're going to be in Titus chapter 3. And the first verse that we have here is verse 3. And it says this: "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other." Now, I know you thought we're talking about grace, and you thought it was going to be a walk in the park sermon. This verse right here, I think it's important for us to understand where we've come from. Because in order to understand grace, we must understand who we are before Christ. And this verse right here gives a great representation, because this is Paul talking and telling Titus that we too, Paul includes himself in this. He says, "We too." In other words, I once was like this. I once was lost just like you. But see, here's what I love, the next phrase in this verse, in this passage, and it says this. It says, "But God." And this "but God" phrase that we see next is really an amazing phrase, because that verse right here that we have in Titus 3 is Satan's challenge, because Satan wants us to live a life in evil. He wants us to live a life full of hate and envy, and he wants us to be a slave to the things here in this world. And that's his challenge for each and every one of us. But God comes in and he says, "I have a response." So, "but God" is God's response to Satan's challenge. And we see this phrase over 43 times in the Bible, where Satan tries to pull us down. And God says, "I've got an answer for you." So let's read what this response is to Satan's challenge. The response that we have in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. "But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Christ Jesus, our Savior." And here's the kicker right here. "Because of his grace, he has declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. And these teachings are good and beneficial for everyone." So, this passage right here, one of the first things I love in it, it talks about the good deeds or the righteous things that we do. How many of us in here say we do good stuff all the time? Yeah, we do good things, whether it's serving at church or, you know, helping the lost or the poor. And I love it because this passage says the righteous things that we do are not the things that save us. A lot of times we get into this idea that it's a works-based system, that we can earn our salvation, that we can earn our way into heaven. And Paul is saying that it's not about the things that we do. It's not about all the good works that we bring to God. Because when we take our good works and we say, "God, here's what I've done so that you will love me." When we take those things and we say, "Here's what I've done, God, so that I can have salvation." When you put those righteous deeds, because they are righteous, but when you put those up to God and you try and use them to purchase salvation, They're worthless. They're worthless. And what we need to do is we need to move to a mindset. We need to move to the mindset to where we serve God because we love him, not because we want him to love us. That's what grace is where all of a sudden, because of the love that we have, because of us accepting that grace that God has given us, an outpouring comes from us. And that's where the righteous deeds come from. Because the love that God has for us, it comes with no strings attached. He says, I love you no matter what. You are my child. And grace has saved you. And that's the thing that we have to remember, is to look at ourselves the way that Jesus, the way that God looks at us, and that eyes and that lens that he has, the lens of grace. So, what are some of the traps that we can fall into? Who in here wears sunglasses? Anybody have a pair of sunglasses that you like? I just recently got one of my, probably my nicest pair of sunglasses that I've ever had, and I say that because I didn't buy them at a gas station. And these sunglasses I love. Why? Because they're polarized. Now, if any of you know the difference between a pair of polarized and non-polarized sunglasses, it's this. When I have my polarized sunglasses on and I put them on and I'm looking at water, I can see into the water. Just yesterday, I was at the Leitner Museum with my son, and we were feeding the koi fish. And I had my sunglasses on, and I'm looking. I'm like, wow, I can actually see the little fish in there. And when I take them off, I couldn't see. It was a glare. And the same thing happens if we have just a different pair of lenses on that aren't polarized. Our view becomes distorted, and we can't see what's really there. The same thing happens to us spiritually. God wants us to look at people through the lens of grace. But instead, sometimes we look at people through a different lens. The first lens that I want to talk about here is the lens of comparison. It's something that we all do. Socially acceptable. We compare ourselves to everyone. Honey, look at that guy sitting in the row right in front of us. You know, he's been coming to church for 3 weeks, and not once has he decided to pick up the pen and write a note down during service. I'm glad I'm such a better Christian than him. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Or sometimes we can do it the other way. Oh, I'm so not worthy. I'm so not a good Christian. I can never compare to the things that all those people do, all the great works that they do. Oh, I just don't compare. I am just not worth it. You know, this is something that is pastors are very susceptible to. I know this because this was a lens that happened to me when I first came on staff here. I looked at the other pastors that were here, and I said, wow, I shouldn't be here. These men are just amazing men of God, and there's no way that I can compare to who these guys are. But you know what? God had put people in my life, and that's what I am so thankful for, because God had given me an amazing transformation group of four other men that I was able to go to, and they are there to help keep me accountable, that they're there to help remind me that I need to get my focus back on God, and instead of comparing myself to other people. Because what happens is when we start comparing ourselves to other people, we take our focus off of God and we look at other people's accomplishments and failures. And instead, we need to get our focus back on him. The next lens that we have, the next lens is the lens of legalism. And let me just say this, the comparison lens is really like a gateway sin, because you don't typically just stay there. It leads to so many other different things. And that's what we see today as we look at the book of Titus. We see the lens of legalism that Paul is talking to Titus about and how people have become very legalistic. So let's read Titus chapter 3, verses 9 and 11. It says this, "Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees, or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with them, for people like that have turned away from the truth." You know, legalism tears churches apart. It really does. Legalism is one of the worst things that we can get ourselves into, because legalism, as we see in that verse, it's not about truth. It says they have turned away from the truth. And legalism is more about tradition than it is about truth. Well, this is how my church used to do things. I don't think they should do it that way. And really, we need to be unifying ourselves together as one, instead of letting legalism tear us apart. And really what we need to have is we need to have a marriage between grace and truth. Because a lot of times people think, well, I'm just speaking the truth to that person. And really, if we continue to just say truth with no grace, then we push people away. But if we have grace with no truth, people don't change. And we have to have this marriage between grace and truth that brings people together. It's very important that we have both of them. You know, the grace that we receive allows us to accept truth. And that truth is Jesus. And people need to know the truth, but they need to be extended grace. You know, oftentimes people think, well, I'm just not good enough, Justin. I have to prove that I really want to change. I don't know if I can extend grace to other people. I don't know if I'm ready to take that next step and actually accept the grace that God has given me. I think I need to work on a few things. I think I've got some stuff in my life, Justin. I'm just a bad guy. I've heard people all the time say, I've got to get things right in my life before I can get right with God. Or I need to make sure that I'm really committed to changing before I can take that next step closer to Him. And really what Jesus wants, Jesus doesn't want us to try and fix ourselves. And that's really what that is. It's us saying, I can do it on my own. I don't need you, God. What Jesus really wants is He says, come to me as you are, but don't continue as you are. And I love that phrase, because it says, come to me with all your hurts, all your habits, all your hang-ups, everything that you think is bad about yourself, and let me change you. Because as long as you invite me, as long as you keep taking steps towards me, I will transform you. And here's what I want. I've got a story of a buddy of mine who really knows what grace is and how to receive it and how to extend it to others. So what I want you to do now is watch this video of a buddy of mine about grace.
My name is Chad Regeer, and this is my story. Towards the end of middle school, I began to drift away from the church, and I started seeking other things to fill that void. Unfortunately, some of the things I chose were drugs and alcohol. From that point forward, it was a very slow fade into addiction. By the time I graduated college, I would describe myself as what you would say a functional addict. I was able to keep a job, but I was continuing to use on a daily basis. The sad thing is that those substances never fulfilled me. They only left me more and more empty. In March of 2008, my wife and I got married. I wanted so badly to stop using drugs. I tried to quit cold turkey. I tried to use the detox drugs that were on the pharmaceutical market. Nothing worked. So I slowly but surely, unknowingly, began to destroy any and every positive relationship I had in my life. By 2008, I was a full-on addict and I couldn't even keep a job. Just a couple months after being married, I had spent all of our wedding money, I'd spent all of our savings, I'd even spent our rent money. And I decided that the world would be a better place without me. So I decided to try an overdose. The second time, I had taken 4 times the lethal limit, and yet I wasn't dead. I couldn't explain it. I had hit rock bottom. In early 2008, we had a wedding shower. And at this wedding shower, I saw a friend there a friend who I used to run pretty hard with. Now, I knew this friend had given up drugs and alcohol. I didn't quite understand why, but I saw a hope and a happiness and a joy in his eyes that I had never seen before. I remember asking him, "Dude, what happened? What's different?" He just looked at me and said, "Jesus." The life he was living showed me what it meant to have a relationship with God and the joys that could come from it. I confessed everything to my wife, to my family, to her family, and to my friends. We contacted our friend from the shower. He had gone through a discipleship ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, and that's where he met Jesus. I really wanted that. I knew that was my only way out. I tried to do everything in my own strength and it didn't work. Jesus worked for him, so I knew it could work for me. When we met with the pastor of the ministry, he told us that though it doesn't feel like it today, this will be one of the greatest days of your life. The three of us didn't understand that at the time, but in hindsight, he was right. That was the day I began to start a relationship with Jesus. And that's the day that Jesus began to restore the broken pieces I'd made of my life. He looked at me and he said, "Did you know that God loved you just as much the night you tried to commit suicide as he does today? Did you know that God's love has never changed for you, no matter how badly you sinned?" That was a crazy thought for me. I couldn't believe it. You see, I was still trying to work my way into God's good graces. I still didn't fully understand the relationship thing. To fully understand that God loved me the same when I was out using drugs as he does today as a church member.
Chad, man, thanks for coming out here today. Guys, this is my buddy Chad. And man, you've got an amazing story, an amazing testimony of grace. And one of the things that you often tell me about when you were in the recovery program down there, as you said, there was a special acrostic that had a lot of meaning to you that someone told you about. And I want you to share that with all of us here and tell us why it had such special meaning to you.
Sure. So let's not sugarcoat things. I made some pretty bad decisions in my life. And some of those decisions led me to some pretty dark places.
Yeah.
So when I first got into that recovery ministry, it's like waking up from a bad dream.
Yeah.
All that guilt, all that shame, it was just so fresh. Couldn't get over it, it was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, one of these really strong Christian men that happened to be part of the ministry sat me down and asked me, "Do you know what grace is?" To be honest, I really didn't. He told me that grace was God's riches at Christ's expense.
That's good. Say that, what is it again?
Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay.
So let's think about it for a second. What could be more offensive? What could be more hurtful to God than trying to commit suicide? I basically told God that his plan was no good for me, that I knew better. He should have just dropped me right then and let me, but he didn't. He
has grace, right?
Yeah.
He gives us things that we don't deserve, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And you know, that video that we shot, Chad, that was 2 years ago that we shot that video, all right? Now, God has been doing some amazing things in your life and has extended, again, more and more grace to you. Now, tell me about some of the things that God's got you doing here at Christ Church, because I think it's important for us to understand that it doesn't matter where we come from, that God can still use us. So I know that you lead a neighborhood group, right?
Yeah, I do lead a neighborhood group, and I say lead lightly because I really feel like the group leads itself, but it's been really amazing to see the hope and encouragement that can come from just sharing life with your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you lead a neighborhood group, but you're also involved in a transformation group. And tell me, what is so important about being involved in one of those, and what's the benefit that you get from it?
Well, I'm in a transformation group with some really awesome guys, and we meet weekly just to really talk about life, to be transparent, to talk about each other's struggles, and to encourage and pray for one another. And without that outlet, I don't know where I'd be. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys have poured into me, and I've poured into them, and it's really become like a second family for me.
Yeah. Now, so you also, there's another ministry that you're really heavily involved in. I know you lead a neighborhood group, you're in a transformation group, but you know, there's a ministry that allows you to be able to use the story that God has given you, because you've got an amazing story of grace. And it's the Life's Healing Choices Ministry. Tell me a little bit about that and how God uses you.
So Life's Healing Choices is a really cool class. It's all about getting over your past and facing your current struggles and starting to make good decisions based on biblical truths. If the class has shown me anything, it's the power of the body of Christ, because we're all unique and we all have our own stories. And when we're willing to open up and share and be honest with one another, more than likely there's someone in this church who's been through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can provide comfort to you that no one else in this world could.
Now, there's something else that we had talked about earlier, something that Jason has said in one of his past sermon series, I think The Good Life, about using your past. Tell me what that means to you.
So I think Jason really nailed it on the head at the end of the last sermon of The Good Life, when he said that God didn't comfort us just so we'd be comfortable. He comforted us so that we could in turn comfort others.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what God is doing with me.
Yeah.
Is providing hope to other people. Not because I know a lot about the Bible, but simply by sharing my past experience.
So Chad, you know, I'm sure there's people that are here or that are watching online that are probably thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to step into God's grace, if I'm ready to accept that grace, if I'm ready to live a life of grace. Maybe they're afraid or they're nervous. What would you tell them?
Well, I would say if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you feel like there's no hope, if you're struggling with some really heavy stuff, maybe it's time to give into God's grace and start seeing yourself the way that God does. You're perfect, not because of what you've done or what you will do, but because of what Christ did. Believe in Jesus. There's hope. There really is.
Awesome, Chad. Guys, give Chad a hand for coming out here, man. I just love Chad, man. I love his story. True story of grace. And I love what he said there. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, give in to God. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to earn God's grace. We can't earn God's grace. We can't earn God's love. He already loves us. You know, I think going through life is kind of like being on an escalator that's going down. If we do absolutely nothing in our lives, we're continuing to just move further and further away from Him. But we have to continue to take steps towards God. We have to continue to make decisions to draw ourselves closer to Him. And I think that's what we need to do, is we have to continue to say, God, I'm going to continue to move towards You. I'm going to continue to take a step towards You. I'm going to continue to seek You. Yeah, God, I might be looking at other people and comparing myself to other people. Lord, help me to step out of that. Or maybe, God, I've been so legalistic in my views and not willing to extend grace to other people. Step out of that. God's grace is sufficient for all, no matter what we've done. God is using a man like Chad to impact lives, to facilitate life change. And He can do that with each and every one of you. Would you guys join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, God, we love You. God, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Lord, for Your Son and what He's done for us. God, I just thank You so much for the love that You have for us, how You continue to show us grace and show us mercy each and every day. God, I pray right now, Lord, that people would understand that grace and that love that You have for us. It's in Your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.